Hey, everybody, and welcome to a controversial Wild Ride with Steve-O. I'm telling you, this episode has more cans of worms than a Louisiana bait shop. Yeah, it's wild. It's crazy. And let me tell you, too, that I just got a new prescription. Like, I couldn't see, turns out. I needed a new prescription, and it drives me nuts that I'm wearing the same pair of glasses for now 3 episodes in a row. I mean, I always loved changing it up. But you know what I love changing up even more than my glasses? My underwear, baby. These MeUndies, it's almost endless, the choices that you can have for this great underwear that feels so good when you wear it. Man, I'm telling you, I love MeUndies. And I've got a deal for you. It's satisfaction guaranteed. They say, if you don't like it, then you just give it back and you get a full refund or an exchange, but you'd be out of your mind to want to give these back, I'm telling you. And if you go to MeUndies.com/Steve-O, then if it's your first order, 15% off, baby, and free shipping. So what are you wearing ugly, uncomfortable underwear for? Go to MeUndies.com/Steve-O and enjoy 15% off of your first order and free shipping, plus endless choices of a great-looking, super comfortable underwear. Now, let's get into Bobby Lee.
There's another guy, Scott?
Yeah, Scott Randolph. Yeah, he's my guy.
He's your sidekick?
Yeah, he's my...
He's on the podcast, though?
Yeah. He's using the loo.
Oh, the bathroom
here? See, we got it all, dude. We got fucking... We got...
Oh, fuck. I didn't know this was going to happen. Look at this guy's face. It's one of the best. One of the best in the business right here, bro. Look at that face, bro. Yeah, dude.
What's up, dude?
You're sick,
yeah,
huh?
He is pretty fucking hot.
He's a hot dude right here, dude.
What's up, dude?
Dude, what's up, bro?
What's up, Dog Pound?
Fuck yeah, bro. We gonna fuck or what, bro?
Wait,
I'm getting nervous, bro.
Let's get your mic a little lower so we don't obscure your beautiful face.
My God, this is like...
Okay, so
it's legit.
I think Tiger Belly. When I think Tiger Belly,
do you have headphones or you don't do headphones?
No, we don't need it.
All right.
Do you want headphones? We can get you headphones.
No,
I don't know if we can.
We got you if you want.
That's all right.
Okay. When I think of Tiger Belly, I think of pink. Is that fair?
Pink?
Pink.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, pick a color.
Yellow.
He said that's what it's all about.
If you want yellow, pal, how's that?
Hey, Tiger Belly's more yellow, bro.
Oh, Tiger Belly's...
Not because we're Asian, but...
That's why he's wearing a yellow beanie.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Tiger Belly, merch.
So you and I have a connection, huh?
I know.
It's for real, huh?
It is.
Yeah. All right.
Where you from, bro? Dude, me and this dude right here have a connection, bro.
Yeah, that's Scott Randolph, man.
Dude, you said that before, bro.
And that's Paul Brisky.
Paul Brisky.
And here we go.
What's up, Bobby?
Dude, it's like a... You got like a... Please don't do that, bro. Well, we're going to get there. He's like a Carney Methy kind of a guy, right? I like Carney Methy. You know what I mean? Like when you go to the fair.
Are we rolling on all cameras?
Here we go, dude.
Yeah, we sure are.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Lee.
It's good.
What's up, bro?
Yeah, dude.
This is a long time coming, huh?
It is.
I flaked a couple of times.
We have flaked
on each
other.
But then you flaked a couple times.
It's a real flake fest.
It wasn't that I flaked as much as I just...
Didn't respond?
Wasn't that I didn't respond. I'm very good at responding. This is the culprit when it comes to not responding.
I'm the captain of it.
Yeah.
Bro, I bet you money, when you were younger, bro, you were some hot shit, huh?
Me?
Scott Randolph.
I still am hot shit.
No, but you thickened and you're a little older.
Yeah.
Still good. Still legit. Like, if you were in the grocery store, we wouldn't take you off the fucking shelves. It's still like...
I'm a staple.
Exactly, bro.
Yeah.
But...
I'm like curious.
But you were more fuckable 20 years ago.
20?
15?
5.
Okay, 5. Let's go 5.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, if we're really going to attack Scott Randolph like
this... I'm not attacking him. I'm giving compliments.
Right.
Of the past.
Like, if I was a food dude, like, I wouldn't be on the shelving. You'd have to ask the person that works there, and then they have to go in the back to get me.
I'm
a specialty.
This compliment is like if I'm going through the TSA at the airport, and the guy says, "Oh man, like, where you been, dude? I haven't seen you in anything forever."
I hate when that happens, dude.
And I'm like, dude, I'm very active, just on like YouTube.
I know. I fucking hate. It hurts your. And because we're alcoholics.
Yeah.
You're a recovering alcoholic. We're sensitive to that.
Right. Well, he is too.
So I start thinking about it, like on the plane. Like if that happened to me at the LAX, right. I'd be on the plane thinking about
it. But is that not the backhanded compliment that you just gave Scott
Randolph? I'm like, I'm a model. And you're like, what, a hand model?
No.
The model citizen. Stop, bro.
Bro, I like that. No, what I was doing is like, you know, like you remind me of a Josh Brolin type.
Yeah. Now okay. or then?
No, so Josh Brolin now.
Goonies or Sicario?
That's what I'm saying, right? So I'm saying when he was in Goonies, he was too young.
Well, no, how about Thrashin'?
Thrashin'.
He was in a movie called Thrashin'.
How old was he then?
Oh my God, perfect.
Right. So Brolin now is a little bit more rugged, you know what right. I mean?
Like, I feel rugged, I like rugged.
Right, right. If I was in bed with him, I'd feel his scruff against my belly. Yeah, this facial scruff against my belly, like scraping my shit. Right.
You're whereas, like, oh, go ahead. No, no.
Carney. That's so mean. I love you, bro.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
Because you have like a Midwestern skateboarding type of vibe.
I'm from the Midwest.
And do you skateboard?
I used to, but I broke my wrist and I stopped.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skateboarding stuff.
Anyway, I wasn't hitting on you, bro.
No, just, it's all good. Know, it's just you don't remember playing ping pong at Steve's house back in the day.
Oh, that's right.
I played you in ping pong?
Yeah.
Did I win?
No. But you're better than I am. But you for sure lost.
Dude, I remember that night very, very well. I asked you, Bobby, to come over and give me notes on my comedy act like 5 days before taping the special.
That was ridiculous.
With Ian Edwards.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that
you
was
were
ridiculous.
You were like, why did you get us over here like 5 days before taping the special?
I know. Like, it was just like, it's almost too late.
Yeah.
That's what it felt.
You were like, we can give you notes, but
did you do that in high school? Did you like
cram?
If you had a test that night, like midnight, you started cramming.
I mean, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I never went to school really myself. You know, I was a really bad student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
San Diego, bro.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where are you from, bro?
Pasadena.
Fuck yeah, dude. Do you
You know my brother?
What's your brother's name?
Steven Randolph and Chelsea.
Wait, Steven Randolph's your brother?
Yeah.
Your real brother?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because Steven... Yeah, that's right. You are him. Yeah. And I get it. I know the vibe.
Maybe that's the connection.
There's a connection there. You also look like him, like his vibe, right?
Well, dude, here's the thing. Steven Randolph is Scott's older brother and would, like, physically abuse him. Like, traumatically abuse
Jesus,
him.
Jesus, dude.
Because he was such hot shit. Like Steven Randolph was so not as attractive as Scott. Scott got all the attention, and so Steven Randolph took it out on him physically, violently.
Yeah, I get that, because Steven Randolph...
He's a physically violent guy.
He's not like...
But he's like a standard white. His face. He's like, you know, he works at... Like, he looks like he works at Enterprise. Rental, or you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Or like, he's the manager at Home Depot, right? You have more of a, like, you know, 70s porn vibe.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah, I like that.
Magnum P.I., dude.
Magnum P.I. vibe, dude.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
I don't.
No.
I don't like it.
But.
How's your girl?
Dude, my girl's good, man.
You guys are married?
We're going strong. We have not gotten married yet.
Yeah. But you guys, I'm so proud of you.
I wear a ring out of respect.
Yeah.
Because I think it's ridiculous that the woman should indicate she's taken and not the man. What does that say about our society?
Right.
Like, only the woman should wear a ring to indicate that she's taken? Does that mean that it's assumed the men should continue to fornicate with others?
Yeah. You probably get hit on a lot, too.
Well, that's the flip side of it, is that the wearing the ring, it's like chum for sharks.
Right.
You're chumming the waters.
Oh, so you're saying that the ring makes them even more crazy.
I mean, I don't know. I don't care because I remember having a conversation with you at, what's that, Earth Bar. We were there to get our healthy juices.
Oh, yeah.
Bumped into each other. And I was telling you about how I'd had trouble with relationships and how I was seeking sexual sobriety.
Yeah, you actually, I want to be completely honest with you, bro.
Go for it, man, yeah.
Out of all the human beings I've ever met on planet Earth, and I'm almost 50, in 2 weeks I'll be 50 years old, and you are one of the most fascinating people I've ever encountered in my life. I'll tell you why, because I've never seen a human being go through such a transformation than you. it's like you're the poster child of like that, like 12 steps work, and you know what I mean, and all that stuff works, because it's like when I first met you, bro, I thought you were like a human scab.
Yeah, for sure.
Were like just
a
this
real skin
thing
mark.
Where we, you know, like he would walk in the room and we'd kind of, you know, kind of, you know, oh, you know, like what the fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like...
Was the first time we met when I got kicked out of that video game awards? Was it a video game awards? Oh boy, I don't look cool in this story. Because you know what? I really was a scab. And I stunk too. But I don't stink anymore, man, because I use the best deodorant there is. It's called Native. Not only do I use it, my girl Lux uses it too. When I came home with this stuff, we both decided we like coconut and vanilla the best, and she says, no, that's mine. You're not allowed to use it. Like, whoa, okay, good thing I love the eucalyptus mint every bit as much. I mean, there's 10 different scents, and they're all amazing. They all work incredibly well, and they're all only made from quality ingredients that you can actually pronounce, in which you know what they are, like coconut oil or shea butter. And like I said, it is effective, it works, and it leaves you smelling fantastic. So now, how are you going to get a killer deal? Glad you asked. You go to nativedeo.com/Stevo, or just use the promo code Stevo at nativedeo.com. Up to you, man. Either way, you're going to get 20% off your first order, and you're going to get any number of these scents, and you're going to love them all, man. I'm telling you, because I do. So don't be a scab, dude. Don't stink, dude. Go to nativedeo.com/Stevo and enjoy 20% off your first order. Yeah, dude. Smell great and feel good. Now let's talk about me being a scab.
That was
Samuel
the crazy,
L. Jackson.
That was the
there.
Craziest. Dude, I remember.
You had to show up to rehearse the show. You would just
run Vegas, right?
Yeah.
It's the Video Games Awards, right? Samuel L. Jackson is hosting, and we're doing the rehearsal, right? First of all, I'm supposed to present with you.
Anyway, we're co-presenters.
Right. Well, we were.
We were supposed to.
That was the intention.
Yeah, that was the intention, right? Then all of a sudden, like, you know, you're a little late. So I'm already there at the where I'm supposed to be, my mark. You come in and you start screaming at Samuel L. Jackson.
What?
you go, what are you doing this for? You're a sellout. You're a movie star.
Right, right.
I'm being real. And like, I remember.
What are you doing this for?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I remember being, so in the audience was, because there were other presenters in the audience, it was Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn. And I remember them looking at me, and Patton Oswalt looks at me and he goes, with his mouth, I'm so sorry. Right? Next thing I know, they drag you out. Right? And then next thing I hear is that you're banned from the MGM for life or something like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Something happened backstage. I don't know what happened, right? But that like that was like my first encounter with you.
Yeah.
What year would this have been?
Maybe 2007 sounds about
maybe,
right.
Maybe, yeah. And I remember I had to present by myself. You know what I mean? So now the live show.
Well, you got to present by yourself.
I got to present by myself, but yeah. I would have loved to do it with you.
Well, yeah.
But you were like out of your mind.
That was the first time we met. And then the second time we met was at this super high end, fancy massage place. What's it called? Burke Williams?
Burke Williams, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I used to go to Burke Williams.
I don't think I was yet sober at that point either.
But then to see you go from there, right, to like. Vegan to like you know what I mean I'm not masturbating for next for a year
430 right? days
yeah I'm you know what I mean I'm sober I live a clean life and just being like this transformation that like just kind of blew my mind because you know when you get sober I still have like my things right like you know I smoke
oh you do
yeah I you know I still sometimes masturbate to porn like in a very like you know, alcoholic way, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, what? There are many different approaches to masturbating to porn.
What do you mean?
I mean, there are people like Scott Randolph who would put, like...
I went 9 times in one day before.
Why?
Well, I don't know. How do you masturbate alcoholically?
Well, it's like the motto that I was raised with. If a little's good, a lot's better.
Yeah, but by the 9th time, your dick must have looked like a dog's dick, like a licorice.
Yeah, I wasn't too worried about that.
Was it bleeding?
No, I don't know. Yeah, I don't really remember too much from that
day. Did anything
come
out when you, like, little Visine drops came out after you came?
And then there's other people who just for one orgasm will spend like 10 hours. Like,
that's what I do.
So you're like an
about to come, right? And then I'll just release, right? And I'll let it even go down.
Yeah, so you're it's called edging.
Is that what it's called?
It's called edging. You get right to the edge.
Right.
And then you back off.
I back off.
So you actually put out, I mean, that's like such a time suck.
Yeah, my penis goes, wee, oh. And it goes, wee, oh.
I wonder if that's good for you.
Like, I think it's that.
I don't think it's good.
It's not good. There's nothing good about masturbating. Good about,
oh, your heart is racing.
Yeah. When I went to the therapist, he was like, do you masturbate like in 2 minutes or do you like take you 10 hours? And I was like, oh, like 2 minutes. And he's like,
yeah,
got it. And he wrote a note.
But I'll tell you why it's not good. It's because, you know, I went to a place because when my dad died, you know what I mean? All these issues came up because my dad used to beat the shit out of me growing up, and all this trauma came up, and I couldn't eat or sleep. I relapsed. You know, I have 2 years almost now, but a couple years ago I relapsed, and I couldn't eat or sleep for months. I lost like 40 pounds. I was gonna kill myself, right? So then I went to a therapist, and we talked about my upbringing and the trauma. So then I went to a place in Arizona, right? So when I was in Arizona, I signed a contract because it's like they said, you not only, you know, I got sober, but they're like, when you masturbate the porn, because I have trauma, you have to understand that people that are in porn also went through trauma, and it's just like a cycle of like...
So this is the place in Arizona, the General Path?
No, I went to a place called PSC or something like that. But anyway, you know, when you, that's why I haven't been to strip clubs either, because it's like, it's
right,
just like,
yeah, that's these bottom kids, line
yeah, these women are just, you know, I mean, they just had, not, I'm not saying all of them, but like, you know, a lot of them have gone through tremendous amounts of trauma and this and that. And it's just not a healthy.
Yeah. Well,
you know, but I still sometimes masturbate.
When you had the relapse, it was just with weed? I gotta say, there is a lot that I love about Bobby Lee, but the way that he's so open, so honest and candid and transparent, man, I respect that. He reminds me of my Whoop app, which openly, honestly tells me everything that is going on with my health and fitness, starting first thing in the morning by telling me what my recovery is and thus how I should approach my day. Now, I'm every bit as transparent as Bobby Lee is, so I don't mind telling you that I only got 37% recovery today. What does that mean? It means I might want to kind of take it easy. It's not the time to go on a marathon right now. Maybe rest a little better, drink a little more water, and then just attack tomorrow. Yeah, that's important stuff to know, man. If you want to be in good health for a long time, you should have a Whoop band, which you get absolutely for free. And you can use this app, which gives you so much insight, by going to whoop.com. That's whoop.com. And when you get to whoop.com, you use the promo code Stevo, and that gives you 15% off at checkout. And you're off to the races, man, with all this insight into what's going on with your body, with your health, with your recovery, with your fitness. And man, it's the way to live a better life. So one more time, go to whoop.com, use the promo code Stevo for 15% off at checkout. Now let's talk about that relapse.
Yeah, it was hard though, man, because it was like, well, the first week was great because I had 17 years of sobriety, right? Imagine 17 years. And then it's like when I was sober the last time, that's when the weed start stores. You would drive by the weed stores, yeah, and go, well, what's that like? But then I was able to do it, right? And because I have a little money too, right? I went to every weed store in L.A., and I would go to the high-end place, like the high-end section. To fuck with this, you know, Mexican weed. I want to go to the most expensive weed, and I bought everything. So I had like probably $10,000 worth of weed stashed in my house. Like literally in fucking black.
And you're with your same girl the whole time.
Yeah, but I hid it from her for about a month. I was able to hide it.
You're smoking it?
What, did you put Visine in?
In the beginning, it was oils. That's when I was able to hide it. Oils, gummies, and those types of things. Drinks, because they sell drinks.
Did you overdose, or not overdose, but did you like have like panic attacks from like eating too many gummies ever?
I had something, a medical thing that I'd never even went to the doctor about, but one time I was taking so many gummies that I froze in my living room where I could, I'm not kidding you, I couldn't move, and then my body felt like I was in ice, like I was frozen. And I couldn't move, and I was shaking, and because I was,
I had a similar experience one time when I drank aluminum cleaner.
What?
I swear I drank aluminum cleaner when someone told me it was like a way to get high.
What is aluminum cleaner?
And I was paralyzed on the kitchen floor in this shitty little apartment I rented, and I couldn't even like reach my phone to call for help, and
I
was in this terrible position.
Maybe the same thing happened, but like yeah. Then I remember going to the bed, finally make it to the bed, and putting all the covers on and just shaking. So then my girlfriend, I finally confessed that I relapsed. And then she's like, what are we going to do? Like, I can't live with somebody. And I go, well, I'll go somewhere eventually, but just give me a month.
Wow.
So she let me smoke pot for a month in my house. At the time it was a new house. So I just remember just like, this is when I know I was an alcoholic and drug addict, because I would wake up at like 9 a.m, go in the backyard, smoke 9 a.m. to midnight.
I wonder if
it was great.
Yeah,
it was great.
I mean,
sounds great.
I almost started saying it's not offensive to ask this question, but I remember what you said to Scott Randolph when we started. So,
go ahead.
Like, is it fair to say like your girl?
I'm
is,
a girl.
No, your girl.
Uh-huh.
Like, is it fair to say that like how'd you get her?
How'd I get her?
Yeah. Right now I'm picturing her saying, like, I can't be with someone, or I can't be with you if you relapse. And then it's like, when you say, that's how you know you're an alcoholic, I'm like, well, when you're you and you're with her, and, like, this is a deal breaker for her, you'd think you would get sober in 2 seconds, no
problem. Yeah. No, I was willing, but at the time, it was like, I saw death around the corner for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to die. Felt like dying.
So why? Because of the past trauma was coming
because
up?
Because my dad died, and like I was just like lost, and you know what I mean? I couldn't eat or sleep. It was terrible. Even, in fact, your brother, so I went on the road, and your brother and his wife opened for me in Portland. And this is how bad it got. They were the ones that first ratted me out.
Good.
So they were the ones that called my girlfriend and said, I think he's using. Because I was hiding it from them too, but they could tell because, you know, they're both sober.
Yeah.
So we went to this sushi restaurant, and I hadn't eaten in 3 days. I'm not kidding you. And I go, you know what? I want to try to eat sushi. I ate half of this. I vomited the sushi out.
But weren't you smoking weed? Didn't that give
you
the munchies?
No, it doesn't, because when you have the kind of trauma that I do, trauma affects the body, right? Like trauma, if you don't deal with it and release it, especially if you had a difficult childhood, that shit turns into cancers and strokes and all kinds of stuff, right? And then you got to go through this process of relieving it through EMDR and some other techniques and stuff, right? But it's like, it was weird. I could not eat. I couldn't sleep. I would be just, I would take 6 gummies, smoke, you know, and all that stuff. And I would lay in bed and I would just not sleep all night. Just in my head, you know what I mean? And the thing that, like, the main memory I had as a kid was when I was like 8 years old, my brother Steve and I used to sleep in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like it was 4 a.m. and the lights turn on in my bedroom, and my mom isn't in the room, right? And she's crying. And she's like panicking. And she goes, in Korean, she goes, help me. Help me block the door, you know? So me and my brother were kids. We're blocking the door. And I remember my mom opened her mouth, and her tooth was missing, and she was bleeding. Like, my dad had punched her in the face. And then I could hear my dad, you know, trying to open the door. And my brother and I and my mom were just fucking clinging onto this door. And then he finally got out. And I don't even remember what happened. That's not even in my memory. So probably something horrific happened. Right, that I couldn't even, you know, but that's how I was raised, was just a rageaholic. That was like, and I, you know, being a small, sensitive kid, you know, I resorted to drugs and alcohol and humor as a defense mechanism, and also, you know, just not trying in school and acting out and all that stuff, right? That's the way I dealt with it. And it was a miracle that I found comedy. Because I honestly believe if there was, if I didn't do stand-up when I was 23 years old, that something God awful would have happened, I think. I don't think I would have, I would have had a great life.
You know? What's the age difference between you and your brother?
3 years.
That's the same as my brother. Is he younger or older?
Younger.
And
he was also cuter than me. So used to, in high school, I never got any pussy. You know, I was unfuckable. And I still think I'm unfuckable. But my brother always got girls. Mm-hmm. He was cuter, but I never beat him up for it, like your brother did. Fucked up. Yeah. Fuck Steven, man.
Yeah. Nah, dude. Nah,
fuck your brother, man. You know, he's never going to open for me again, bro. That's outrageous, bro. Yeah,
are you mad at him for ratting you out?
What?
Are you mad at him for ratting you out?
Two things now. He beat the shit out of you growing up. Right? And he ratted me out this fuck.
No.
Hey,
he's one of the best guys now.
I still love him. I still love Steven Randolph, but he definitely beat him up because he was better looking.
Yeah.
And he definitely ratted on you.
I know. But can I say something about your brother?
Yeah.
He is a talented guy.
He's very talented.
He's a great guy,
He's a super talented guy.
Dude, like, I love him.
I do, too.
I genuinely love Steven Randolph.
Yeah, you guys got to say something nice about him, or he's going to be really upset.
I know, because he gets really
sensitive.
He's going
to beat me if you guys don't say something nice about him.
No, I mean, dude, when you were little kids.
Yeah, I know, dude. We got over it. You know,
because we were little kids. he had a natural reaction to being jealous of your better looks. He's a little kid, you know, like there's nothing there. And he cared about Bobby, you know, like was he supposed to keep secrets and then Bobby's dead? And then what was he supposed to think? Like when it comes to addiction and alcoholism, you have to rat on people. Otherwise, they're going to end up dead and it's going to be your fault. So in both cases, he did the right thing.
I think he did. I don't think that if he was sober, he would have done the right thing, because he's a sober guy. He did the right thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And your brother is very much like me, because when he stresses out, I relate to his stress. Like sometimes when he used to work at the Comedy Store, I would see him just like have his hands on his head and he'd just be like, you know what I mean, stressed out about some deal or, you know what I mean, some opportunity that's like, you know what I mean, going away, and he would just completely just get consumed by something.
Yeah.
And I'm like that. You know what I mean? So I relate to your brother in that way as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
We all are.
Are you like him?
Depends on what. Probably.
Are you sober?
Yeah. I got 8 years.
Oh, congratulations. So you both. Is this you two?
And my sister. My sister's totally normal.
What? Is she older?
Middle. I'm 3 years younger. It's like 3 years apart. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it skipped her.
Mm-hmm.
I heard, and I'm not going to say who I heard it from, but that like when you're on tour.
Talking to me?
Yeah. That when Bobby Lee's on tour, that despite the fact that you do so many shows on tour, that you're like gripped with anxiety before you get on stage, like every single time.
Yeah.
That doesn't go away?
No. No, I heard, and I thought I was something wrong with me, but then it's like, I heard Barbara Streisand, before every show she vomits, like in a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She gets so nervous.
Dude, I'm not even a stand-up. Steve makes me open for him. I check my heart rate before I go up. Yeah. It's 170.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'll be honest with you, it's not something, and it's annoying what I do. I'll tell you why, because and Whitney Cummings, right, confronted me on it. Because one time I was at the Comedy Store and I was being really anxious, right, pretending to be anxious, right, and then I went up, I killed, and then afterwards, I go, it wasn't good, and she just pulled me aside and she goes, I'm done with this. She confronted me. She's like, it's a show. What you're doing is bullshit. It's like, you know, you're... We're not going to buy into this charade that you're, you know what I mean?
Like, do you know you do well and then you get off and you just want validation?
So before my set, I go through this thing that's so annoying where I don't really feel anxious. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to crush. I'm going to do well, right? But I go through the emotions like, you know, it's so, you know what I mean? Oh, the pressure and all this stuff. And then afterwards, I could kill, it doesn't matter. Afterwards, I'll always go, oh, it wasn't that good. You know what I mean? And it's like, my openers will be like, did have to just deal with it, right? But someone like Whitney, you know what I mean, is my, you know, she's even probably a bigger level than I am. And she's just like, stop. And so since she did that, I don't do it anymore.
Good.
I don't go through that process because it's annoying. Like, so I sit like, I'm going to show you. So I sit like this, right?
Yeah.
See the way I'm sitting?
Cross leg.
Yeah. But this is not my natural way of sitting. My natural way of sitting is like this. Right, this is not it, right? But so, do you know this band, Hot Snakes?
I don't know Hot Snakes.
Because there was a band called Drive Like Jehu. Anyway, the lead singer, when I used to work at a coffee shop, right? This is before I did stand-up. I worked at the Panikin Coffee Shop in La Jolla. One time I saw the lead singer, this is in the early 90s, Rick Farr, come to my coffee shop. He was wearing one shoe, the other shoe was missing, right? And I knew that he was the lead singer of one of my favorite bands, Drive Like Jehu, right? He was sitting there like this, drinking a coffee, right, like this. And I remember practicing to sit like him, because this is not my natural way, right? Like forcing my little legs to, like, do this, you know what I mean? And then, like, just act kind of like an artist, almost. This is so gross, what I'm saying, right? And so it's like, from then on, like, I just pretend to be this thing, like this artist guy. This is so annoying that I want to change, right? So I think it all stems from Rick Farr.
This guy,
you know what I mean?
Man, I'm still thrown off by that crazy slur you just used.
Which one?
The G word on yourself.
Yeah, my little G legs.
G money legs, what'd I say?
We can't say
we can't say
Paul, what did he say? What did I say?
Paul, what did he say?
I don't remember.
I heard it. You remember it.
Well, okay, so I said
okay. That's probably going to demonetize this whole podcast, right? That one word.
You think so?
It's a heavy
word.
Can you beep it? Yeah, I mean, I don't, yeah,
you
I think we can beep it. Yeah,
we can beep it.
That was a heavy word.
Yeah, beep it.
But do you guys beep it on Tiger Belly? You say it on Tiger Belly all the time. Do you ever get in trouble for that on YouTube?
Well, I think that if a black guy says the N-word, it's okay, right?
Right. Would you get demonetized?
Wee Man said the M-word, and that was a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that as an Asian person, I can say the G word.
Yeah, why?
No. Wee Man said the M word.
Oh, the M word, which is what?
Yeah, let's clarify. Wee Man
Wait. Oh, I see what you're saying. I see. So Wee Man said. Oh, so Wee Man said, idjit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. With the M.
Yeah.
You said idjit with the M, right? Yeah. I think. Can you say that? Like, can you say ook with a G?
That's probably fine.
It's fine, right?
That's probably fine.
I'm gonna see if I can do the N-word.
See the other one.
I don't think I can.
I won't.
Right, but I'm just saying that. So he said idjit, right?
Yeah.
But he is an idjit. So why can't he say that?
Right.
That was actually the point he was making while he said it. He was telling a story,
right,
about it getting cut out of Jackass 2 when he was the one who said it. And he was like, right, I'm the one who said it.
Oh, it got cut out?
And it got our, I remember, I mean, who cares? But yeah, it was.
Yeah, it, you know, it's, I want to say something, and I want to be.
It's a sensitive time.
Yeah, it's not only a sensitive time, but I have to, I think when it comes to comedy, right, this is I think we're going to be in a very scary territory if we start completely editing everything that we're saying. You know what I mean?
Especially in comedy.
And I struggle with it because it's like, you know, everything that I say on podcasts and radio shows and stuff are, number one, pretty much lies. Number two, they are pretty much lies, exaggerated stories. I'm wild. I say wild things, you know. And, you know, that's always been, since after Mad TV, I was always kind of like of a shock kind of a shock comic, you know what I mean? Saying crazy things and stuff like that.
And showing your wiener.
Yeah, I used to. I mean, not show the actual wiener, but I would go dance in my underwear or whatever, right? Yeah. And be provocative in that way. And I just, well, you know, it's there's a freedom to that. I live in America, you know what I mean? I am this little Asian guy, you know what I mean? And I want to, you know what I mean? I want to express myself, you know? And we're just in a really scary time, man, because it's like, you know, we have to watch everything that we say, stuff that I've said before, like 20 years ago, or coming back around, and people are going, well, you said
have
this.
Have you gotten in trouble for old stuff?
I don't want to talk about it, but I have, right. You know what I mean? And it's like, those things that I'm in trouble for are complete and utter lies and exaggeration. They're jokes, and, you know, and I feel bad, I guess. I mean, there's a part of me that feels bad, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, my core being is I've never really done anything to harm anybody or, you know, I've done anything. I've always been sober guy. I've always been, you know, my little brief moments of relapse, but it's like I know
that sounds like your relapse looks more like you in fetal position than out there being hateful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I don't. I never. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go to even do a comedy club and smoke pot with the comics. I would be just in my house. I'm like that kind of alcoholic.
Where you're not yelling at Samuel L. Jackson at the MTV Awards.
Yeah. But do you, when that happened, though, I've always wondered, when you're there at that event and you're getting kicked out, what are you thinking?
It's so funny because your perspective was probably like, dude, I went and showed up and like, dude, they didn't need me and I just left. Cool.
Well, I mean, I think there was a level of embarrassment that I had yet to be clear. But the overwhelming sense was that, oh, cool. Now I don't have to even worry about doing this show. I can go straight to wherever I can find cocaine.
You remember that scene?
I totally remember that scene.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just like, okay, cool, man. I don't have to wait to, like, really let my hair down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it was pretty well down already. Yeah, exactly. I remember what's most shocking about that day was that I made it through the airport and was allowed on an airplane. And then, because I was screaming, and going through the airport.
Oh my god!
I forget what my deal was that I was screaming, but I was.
Was that before or after the smoking on the airplane?
The smoking on the airplane was ages ago.
You lit a cigarette on an airplane?
Yeah. See, my philosophy was that whenever you get on the airplane, they say this is a non-smoking flight, and federal law prohibits tampering with the smoke detector in the bathroom.
Yeah.
They don't say federal law prohibits smoking. It says a non-smoking flight, and you can't tamper. They never actually, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so federal law does not prohibit me from tampering with a cigarette in my seat. It's like, I didn't go in the bathroom.
Oh,
right.
I didn't even go in the bathroom to tamper
with the smoke detector, because I'm a good guy.
I stayed
in my seat and tampered with a cigarette.
Wow.
And so give me the misdemeanor, because I already know it's not a federal offense.
What happened?
How'd that work?
It turned out that it is a federal offense to disregard the instructions of a flight attendant.
Yeah.
And then he said, I need you to put that cigarette out.
Yeah.
And so I jammed it into my wrist and twisted it around and burned my wrist, and then I lit up another one after he walked away.
No.
Yeah, and then he came back and said, come on, man, please, really nice, please.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that was when I started hurling slurs at him.
Were you in the air? Were you in the air at this point?
Yeah, it was in the air.
We found the footage recently. I watched it. And you're also like, this is going to be great. Wait, just wait. Watch. Watch. Like, so, he was going to be amazed once you lit it and, like,
so did people come on board to take you out, or
we were already in the air. Yeah. When the plane landed.
Yeah.
The law enforcement people came on. Everyone had to stay in their seat, and they extracted me first.
You got priority deboarding.
Where were you
priority,
going?
Priority deboarding. I was going to spring break, dude.
Oh, wow.
North Panama City.
Wow.
From where? L.A.?
Yeah, I think probably from L.A.
So they just had to smell smoke for 5 hours the whole way there in the plane?
Well, no, but if I recall correctly, we connected in Atlanta, meaning it was a Delta flight.
Shit.
Yeah, do you have what I have, which is like, and I don't have it as a sober guy, but sometimes I have this thing where it's like the rules don't apply to me. You know what I mean? Like driving rules or just different rules. I have this thing where it's like, it just, you know, like if I get a parking ticket on my, in my car, right, I'll literally just keep it there until the natural winds blow it away.
Wow, it's crazy.
I don't pay it.
And then what happens?
What? It just, I deal with the consequences later. You mean whereas I, like my car will get towed.
So, so you get a ticket on your car, what goes on in your head? Like, fuck these people.
I don't even think about it. I just keep it there. I've had two of them on there before.
I want to clarify that I did not hurl, even back then, this was 2004, I did not hurl racial slurs at the guy.
He's still thinking about it.
And I was just like, I mean, that doesn't even really help. But I was, back then, it was like, to me, if I wanted to be insulting towards someone, yeah. I would say agate.
Oh. Is it agate?
Yeah.
I don't know if that guy, I'm not, who knows? It was just general, I was just trying to be generally, like, derogatory, you know? It didn't even have anything to do with anything about the guy.
I miss white people. Like, what happened to you guys?
What happened to us?
White people have become so sensitive, and, like, I miss old white people. Like, Asian, like, I
like Gran Torino, Clint
Eastwood. Yeah, like, I grew up with such a hostile, like, racism.
What about, what about that story I saw on TMZ about Tony Hinchcliffe? Didn't you speak up about it, like, at the time?
So what, you mean the opener?
Yeah.
When he called the opener?
Whatever. So something like, in and out. To be fair.
I'm gonna be completely honest with you, okay? And Azers are gonna be so mad at me for this. But like one time this gay comic brought me up on stage. He's a friend of mine, right? So I called it I go one more time for the agate. Right? And he goes, fuck you, you know me, you flat faced.
Was he pissed or was he?
No, we're doing comedy, you know what I mean? You fucking fat or whatever, and then I'm like, fuck you, you know what I mean? And we're like, we're killing, right? Like the audience is by eating it up. It's like a rapport that we have, right? It's like, you know, we have the relationship. This kid is his opener, right? And it's like the things that I've said about my openers have been crazy, you know what I mean? Like insane, right? But it's like it was never taped, right? And I think that it's Tony's audience, right? He asked this kid to open for him, right? There's a rapport that there's sort of like this unsaid rule that, like, you know, in that environment, it's safe to fucking make fun of each other, this and that. And I understood kind of what Tony was doing, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, would he do it to me? No. Because if he did, I would do it back to him, right? Like, I could have said 10 things that would have made him cry because I just know personal things about him. You know what I mean? But it's like, you know, to me, when I saw that, at first I was like, oh, that's kind of fucked up, right? But then when I actually thought about it, I was just like,
it's kind of, Tony Hinchcliffe is a master comic.
He's a good comic. He's a good writer.
He's really, really good.
Yeah.
And he's got that kind of sort of like dry, like, you know, like almost like Jezelnik. Almost like we're like offensive. Offensive. And so it wasn't like too far out of his style of comedy. You know, it was a little bit on the nose, like not as.
It's provocative. It's edgy. People laughed nervously. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's also kind of like I could see in the moment, it was like, I'm punk rock. You know what I mean? I'm edgy. You know what I mean? This is against the culture right now, you know? And it's like, you know, I understand all that. But, you know, is Tony Hinchcliffe in his heart a racist? No. You know what I mean? Was he just doing his brand of comedy? Yeah. And I think that...
I agree.
I do. I mean, I really do. And it being an... Like, there was that other kid. I forgot his name. Shane Gillis.
Yeah. The Saturday Night Live guy got fired from Saturday Night Live.
Got fired from...
As soon as he got hired. Huh? He didn't even get to do a show.
No.
He got hired, and then he didn't even do a show yet. And then
I'm having
fired.
Him on Tiger Belly in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's just another thing. It's like, he said it on a podcast, right? And as a comedian, I think anything goes for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you say crazy things. I've said so many crazy things, right? And it's like, some of them aren't cool, you know what I mean, with today's culture and today's, you know, how it shifted, you know, it shifted on us, the world, you know, and it's like, I know, I was just like, you know, also as an Asian guy, at first when I saw it, I was a little offended, like Tony's. My first initial reaction, but I have to think about, you know what I mean, who he is, what the environment is, you know what I mean, and, what his heart says, you know?
Did you shoot him a text?
No, in the beginning, no, because I don't know him. You mean Shane Gillis?
No.
Tony? No. I never texted him. Because I didn't think it was that big of a deal until later.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And he has moved on. He survived it. It wasn't like anything. Like, what about Ari Shaffir? Like, what's going on with him lately?
What do you mean?
I remember when he like did his Kobe joke. Mm-hmm. That was not good for him. And I wonder
that's another example of what I'm going to say is that he's on brand.
Yeah.
And I personally thought it was poor timing. You know what I mean? I personally thought that it was just unsavory. It's not cool.
Right.
You mean it? You got to leave some time. He didn't do that. He did it immediately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it was just all off-putting.
And it wasn't... Yeah, it was. That was a tough one. That was a tough one.
But still, at the end of the day, it's like, he's doing what he does. That's his style, right? And it's like, if you don't like it, don't follow him.
Yeah.
Right.
I found out Kobe died from Ari's post.
No, just kidding. That's funny. You know, I found out about 9/11 the day at 9/12.
Yeah, I found out about it at 4 p.m. Yeah, that day.
9/11, I was sick.
You weren't loaded.
What?
You weren't loaded?
No. I was super sick, and I just didn't pick up the phone. I just slept all day.
Yeah, same.
And the next day, I went to a Starbucks, and it felt weird in there, right? And then I looked, you know, at Starbucks, it has like newspapers, and I just saw the Twin Towers exploding.
Twilight Zone.
Yeah. And then I remember picking it up, going, what the fuck? Right? And it's like, I was just a day late. It was weird.
Man, can I tell you the one of my favorite jokes, and it was on Twitter, and it was about someone being dead the day that they died. Like, no time was...
Yeah.
It was so fucking funny.
Who was it?
Okay, I don't know the name of the person, but it was on TMZ. I get my news from TMZ. And the story was that a magician... committed suicide by hanging themselves in a closet at the magic castle.
Right.
So they were found dead, and Jeff Ross copied the link to this TMZ article.
Right.
And tweeted it with one word.
What?
He wrote, abracadaver.
Jesus, dude. Abracadabra. That's really funny.
Abracadabra.
Yeah.
That is so fucking funny.
It's very funny. Did you get in trouble for it?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a long time ago. This was...
But let me go back to Ari. Ari is... He's in New York. And I feel like he's doing all the clubs and everything's fine. Hmm. Another thing we have to also understand is just... You know what I mean? The news cycles, it shifts so quickly... Right?
24 hours.
And even with just with comedians and stuff, it's like, it shifts. So what he did is he went to Peru. He went somewhere for like 6 months after the Kobe stuff. And he went to Thailand. He went all over the world and traveled and hiked, you know, and he came back. And it seems like it died when he got back. So now he's just doing his own thing. I don't really read anything about... Ari, you know,
yeah.
But can we talk about Kate Quigley?
Sure.
You know who she is?
I'm not sure.
Do you know who she is?
Kate, is this funny, Kate?
Yeah.
Well, I saw a Red Band post saying, hey, give her some love.
You don't know what happened?
So, yeah, so she was in this overdose party.
Was that in Venice?
Yeah, dude, this is gnarly.
I don't know about this at all. What happened?
So Kate Quigley, right, is a very funny comedian girl. I used to hang out with her. She's a nice girl. And she was, I guess, at a party with three other guys.
In Venice,
In Venice, and they snorted some cocaine that was laced with fentanyl.
Mm-hmm. I just saw that headline yesterday.
The three guys died.
Shit.
And she was in the ICU this weekend, but it looks like she's going to make it.
Oh, but it's like that?
What do you mean?
She was like...
We thought that her organs were going to shut down and she was in a coma and she was going to die. You know what I mean? But
now in this situation, do they know that the cocaine, is it like that, like a perk? It's like, oh, dude, I got some killer coke and it's got fentanyl.
No, I think some cocaine just has fentanyl cut into it. I don't know. It's not my drug, you know what I mean? It's not my scene. And also, I'm sober, so I don't know much about it. I mean, that's the real... When I relapsed 2 years ago, was just like, I'm not doing opiates. I'm not doing these things because it's like, I still had obligations. I still had a career to somehow figure out. You know what I mean? I was on a show at the time, so I was just like, you know, I just... Weed... My gut just said, just stick with the weed. You know what I mean? Because it's...
Yeah.
Jesus, dude. Is weed any different now and then? Is it obviously way fucking stronger
now?
I
hadn't smoked weed at that time for 17 years. So even probably like the worst kind of weed possible, you know, that you could get from Mexico or whatever,
yeah,
would have been, you know what I mean, insane. But for me, I went to like the high-end shit, you know, with the purple little, you know what I mean, little hairs on it, you know what I mean? And I just remember getting so high. Like, I went to Hawaii to shoot Magnum, and I was high, and I had a day off, and I had done some weed, and I was just like, walking down the street and just crying laughing about, I don't remember what it was, but I just remember like I had to pull my side, right? And
by
I was
yourself?
Like by myself, like a sad guy, you know what I mean? And just you know, laughing so fucking much, right? But then like after a couple of months of doing it, it just becomes super, and you know in your heart, you just go, this is not going to end well. This is not the life I want to live. I want to live in the light. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what's new for you? You turn 50. You're going to get married.
I mean, this last year has been the best of my career. It's been insane. I did a movie in Hungary with Cate Blanchett.
Wow.
Jamie Lee Curtis, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, Edgar Ramirez, Janina Gavankar. And I was there for 2 months. You know what I mean? I did Reservation Dogs, and then I'm on Sex in the City, the new Sex in the City. And then I've done 4 episodes of that. And then I sold a show to ABC.
Wow.
And then I have one more. And then I have Magnum PI. I'm doing Magnum PI again. You know what I mean? 3 episodes this season. And it's just been incredible. And it's like, this is like 10 years ago, I could get nothing. I couldn't get my agents to call me back. I couldn't get an audition. I couldn't get anything.
Weren't you on Curb?
Yeah, but like, I would do Curb, and then 2 years will go by, and nothing. You know, and this time, I think 2 things happened. Number one, my podcasting, right? It completely helped me because it's like, every job that I've gotten from the movie to everything were because producers or somebody was a Tiger Belly fan or a Bad Friends fan, right? And number two, no, just that.
Sobriety had nothing to do with it?
No.
No.
I don't know. But it's just like, it just kind of all caught up, you know what I mean? And it just feels completely different. And I don't know what happened, but am I happy? I think so. Yeah.
Are you going to stay in L.A. for a while?
Yeah, forever.
Forever?
Forever. I'm an L.A. guy forever. Are you?
I love LA.
I love LA too. It is everything that I need. Those fucking idiots that moved to Texas. Those fucking morons. Some of them are coming back. Tim Dillon, I saw him the other night. He's like, I'm moving back October 1st. It's like, no shit.
Yeah, I saw that on the Joey Diaz podcast.
Yeah. They're going to come back.
But yeah, there's nothing out there. I mean, it's going to be fun for 3 years.
Yeah, LA's the best.
Yeah, it is.
You could have the, it has the best food if you can, you know where to go, right? It's got, you know, the beaches.
The best weather.
The best weather.
You don't have to fucking scrape ice off your windshield to go to work in the morning.
Yeah. It's a little, it's expensive. I get it. But it's like, but also LA has the thing that.
The weed.
No, that's just weed.
I'm just kidding.
But they have, just by living here, magic can happen. I'll give you an example.
I was, what are you going to do, dude?
Nothing. I just need to adjust my body. I was in a, one time I was in Koreatown. I was at a Korean restaurant called Sukbuljip. And I was just eating with my girlfriend. And this Korean guy comes up to me. Right? This, what?
What did you say?
The Korean guy came up to me.
Okay.
What did you think I said?
I heard something.
No. A Korean guy came up to me. Yeah. And he goes, hey, dude. I go, I'm eating. I'm like, what's up? Hey, I like your comedy. Right? It sounded Mexican.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, I like, you know, I like your comedy. I go, thank you. And he goes, I director. And I go, oh, cool. Right? He goes, you want to do music videos? I go, I love music videos. And I don't know what it was, but it's like, I gave him my number. So a week later, the dude texted me, tomorrow, music video.
If he got a response from you, I'm going to be livid.
What? Yeah, did you respond right away?
No. No, I did. Because I think he texted me. I have a music video, right? He said two words. Eminem. And he goes, Dr. Dre. And I go, what? So he gave me the address. I show up. Next thing I know, I'm in a fucking van, right? Like a bus with Dr. Dre and Marshall, you know, Eminem. And I'm doing one of their music videos, right?
So you're in...
one of the videos. It's called We Made You, I think the song is called.
Is it out yet?
It was out. This is years ago this happened. This is back in the day. And, like, those are so many things like that happen where I'm, like, somewhere, right? And somebody goes, hey, you know what I mean? This is in L.A. You know what I mean? I'm doing something. Like, I was back in the day when I, you know.
So what was the situation? You were eating, and this guy worked at the restaurant?
No, he was just a guy that was eating there.
Okay, gotcha.
He just walked right up to me. And he goes, you know what I mean? Music video. That's basically all he said. And he was the director of this fucking Eminem video. It was crazy.
And he knew you from the podcast?
No, no, this is way before the podcast. He knew me from Mad TV or whatever.
Wow.
Right? But I'm just saying that, like, things like that happen where you're just kind of like,
yeah.
I was at a Kodak store because I had to, one back in the day when you had to, this is years ago, you'd have to take these disposable cameras, right? And then I would use 12 of them, and then in 6 months I'll go to a Kodak store to get them developed. I was waiting in line in the one in Beverly Center, and Seth Rogen was behind me in line, and he goes, I saw you at the Laugh Factory. Can you be in my movie Pineapple Express? And I go, all right. You know what I mean? Like, just like little things that happen just by being here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't want to move to Austin because that shit like that doesn't happen. Like, I can do stand-up here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You become a very good stand-up, by the way.
Thanks, bro.
And I want to say that rarely do I see somebody that, you know, comes, you know, I'm a organic stand-up. I started with it when I was 23. Open mics, I did the whole thing. And so it's like when I see like an actor or, you know what I mean, an entertainer like yourself decide to do stand-up later in their career or whatever, I have to be honest, there is like a gut like reaction of like, come on, you know what I mean, what the fuck, you know what I mean? But so it takes a while for me to go to watch somebody and go, you know what? Theo did it. Because Theo Vaughn was, you know,
House Rules.
Yeah, he was on some MTV show, right? And then he started doing stand-up, and we were kind of like, why is this guy doing... And then he became... You're very much like that, where it's like a guy that... You know, you're from Jackass, and it's like, you did it, and you put in the work. That's the thing. It's like... It's hard. You know how hard it is, stand-up. And when you're one of those guys that, like, is you're an actor and you do it once in a while, right, to make a quick buck or whatever, right, it just doesn't sit well with me. But when somebody goes, you know, I know that this is a completely different craft and I'm going to put in the fucking work, then I can gain a respect. Because I'm sure you had some suffering when you started doing stand-up, you know what I mean? How hard it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also was fortunate that I didn't realize how bad it was. I was eating shit, but I didn't really know that. I just took the laughs that I got, and the laughs that I got really put wind in my sails.
Right.
And kept me at it. And I also had, when I started doing it, I mixed in stunts, even if I did two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, I'm still doing all those stunts over and over and over and over again.
Wow.
And that kind of helped me along. But dude, thank you so much, man. I really do give
you, because I remember even before you did it though, I would see you at the clubs in the audience.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you know what I mean? You're studying as well. Like, how does this work? You know what I mean?
That was when I got sober. I'm not going to bars. I'm not going to nightclubs anymore. The only place that I would go would be to the comedy club because I had a reason to be there.
Yeah. But that in that way also, it's like, okay, he's trying to, like, learn the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it's cool. Like, I think Rappaport does it. You know what I mean? I like
Jeremy Piven. I've heard good things about his stand-up.
I like Piven as well. You know what I mean? He's putting the work in, though. You know what I mean? He goes up a lot.
Yeah.
And when people go up, like, I just don't like it when, like, you know, I don't want to name names, but there have been people that did it and they just decided just to go on the road. Like, they went up twice. And all of a sudden, because they have a name, they went on the road. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is then they sell out a big club and they eat a dick. And then they stop doing it because it's so brutal, right? That's not what you did. You kind of slowly got there.
I got to hitting the road pretty quickly. You know, I dove into it. I started doing it all the time. And then I was presented with the opportunity to get on the road when our Jackass 3D came out.
Ah.
So I got into it pretty quickly.
Wasn't it from a Howard Stern interview?
Yeah, I went on Howard to promote Jackass 3D, and I was like, Howard, I'm doing stand-up every night, and I love it, and I want to do it in New York tonight. And I did it at the Cellar that night.
Yeah.
How long did you do?
Like 10-minute set at the Cellar, like whatever.
Was it hard?
No,
Cellar can be a little intimidating.
I mean, yeah, okay, it was.
It's intimidating.
It was.
Even when I play the Cellar, it's like, this is, you know, it's the Comedy Store of New York, I think. It's like, that's deep history. Yeah. Everyone's a killer, you know.
But whatever it is, man, I always did take it seriously. I always did care about it and work hard. And thank you, man.
You have a new Jackass coming out, right?
Yeah, but they've just pushed the date from October to February.
But you shot it already?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's fucking great. Nothing's ever going to beat our second Jackass movie, but this smoked the third Jackass movie.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Can I, you can say no, but I've always liked you guys. Huh. And is there some sort of, like, if you have a screening or something where I could get invited to and so I can meet some people? I've always wanted to meet Johnny Knoxville.
I did. I would love to.
Nah, being real, I feel like...
Two words. Music video.
Really?
What?
I would assume that there will be one.
Yeah.
And I would love for you to...
You're going
to
forget.
I won't do it.
He's going to do it and you're not going to text back.
Fuck you. Yesterday. Fuck you guys. Yesterday, did you text me?
Yesterday, you didn't get back to me. The time before,
How fast, though?
Pretty quick. Very quickly.
So is that a changed man or what?
I was stoked. I was really stoked.
And guess what? Who's here?
Yeah. You are.
Yeah. They, you know what? Like, whenever...
Right? I mean...
You are here, for
whenever
sure.
Whenever I do...
And you're to the minute right on time.
Yeah. Whenever...
Changed man.
Stop doing that.
Why? You don't like my wings? Yeah, I like it.
Dude, I have this little habit when I record the intros for my podcast. Yeah. It's called Wild Ride.
Yeah.
And every episode, I give each episode an adjective. Like the last one that I recorded, I said, "Welcome to an exhilarating wild ride."
Right.
And I think that the adjective for this episode, "Welcome to a controversial wild ride."
Why?
Because
I say ook.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
talk about me getting beat.
We really delved into a great deal of scandals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A bunch of we peeled back the curtain.
Yeah,
Scott's trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there was a lot of controversial stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Breakthroughs. Certainly, I'm going to call my sponsor after this.
People love controversy.
Yeah. I don't think it was controversial.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I thought it was being honest.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You know,
I mean,
we feel, you know, it's like you feel it out. Like, I don't have an agenda when I come to this fucking van or this bus or whatever it is. You know, I just sat here and I go, let's just see what happens. You know what I mean? But it's... Bro, let me ask you something.
What?
Let me ask you something. You have a girlfriend?
No.
Right. When's the last time you had a girlfriend?
Couple years ago.
Man, was that a nightmare?
That was a nightmare.
Oh, really? Yeah. But do you see girls now?
I haven't as of lately, just because we've been working a lot.
He fucks.
Right. Let me ask you something. If you and I were on I always ask this. If you and I were shipwrecked on an island.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a small island. It's maybe like a half mile around. Just you and I. In the center of the island are like a little jungle area. Right, maybe a little hill, right? But around it's still like a lot of beaches, really blue, right?
2 months.
2 months what?
Finish your question.
No. What were you answering?
How long would it take for us to bone?
2 months.
Yeah.
Wow, I was gonna say year.
Year.
Yeah. Because I'm not gay. Yeah, I think 2 months is like, because in the beginning we're like, we gotta build a shelter. You and I, right? We gotta figure
but
out.
But you'd be like winking at me and like touching me, blowing on me, and I'd be like, "Fuck!" Dude.
I don't know. I'll do the wings, and I'll do the, you know what I mean, whatever. Right? But like, you know what I mean? We gotta find fresh water.
We're sleeping butt to butt at night.
Yeah, yeah. Because it gets cold at night.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And also the noise.
Ooh. Well, how did I know? How did I know you were going there with that question? Is that what you were gonna ask?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Bobby giving off some serious Andy Dick vibes.
Yeah. I feel like if you and I were on a desert island, it would take 20
years.
3 days. 3 days? 3 days?
If that.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think a couple of years, you and I.
Okay. What about Paul?
Because we're friends.
6 minutes.
No, he'd be someone I'd kill.
Why?
What, you, and then
because you
me?
Don't like carnies,
kill no, me
just,
and then fuck me.
He's just got a weird vibe about him. You know what I mean? I'd probably kill him.
All right.
Yeah.
But, okay.
No, I would not kill you. But so you said 2 months.
I mean, realistically, probably like a year.
That realistically, right?
Yeah.
But why would you? Let me ask you this. I know you. Why would we even have to go there?
Because we're sick in the head.
I feel like.
And it's like on the subject of winking.
Yeah, Ian Edwards had the best bit about this. Mm. Right, where he was like, he said, he was talking about like people who are ugly, and he'd give an example. It'd be like the woman who murdered Selena.
Yeah.
And that, like, you automatically get an image of her, and you're like, ah, that's so funny, because, like, yeah. And he's like, was it? I'm confusing bits. Because he said whenever people of two different races have a child, that child is going to be gorgeous.
Yeah.
Even if it's the woman who murdered Selena, and then he had another example.
Oh, right, right. I think it is his bit.
Yeah, it was a great bit.
Yeah.
It was a great bit. But then someone, maybe, I just remember there being a bit about someone be like, you know what, like, I'm not gay. I can tell you right now that, if you locked me up with the woman who murdered Selena, I'm gonna reach a point where it's like, yeah, you know, like I need some pussy.
Yeah, yeah.
But like at no point, if you lock me up with Brad Pitt, is that gonna happen? Someone had this great comedy bit like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, Brad Pitt. Yes, I would.
Yeah, I'd fuck Brad Pitt right away.
Brad Pitt.
I'd do it now.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I would drive to his house right now.
I would do it for the story.
Yeah,
I saw him.
I would do it.
I would do it for the story.
Before we confirmed, it's an island. Even like, it's like maybe it's a peninsula. Maybe there's like people. It's like no.
Right. We land and I see a resort. Like, but I don't tell him.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
we're on a fucking island. He's like, are you sure? Yeah. And the Four Seasons is like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, mile away.
We're gonna die.
Yeah, we're gonna die. Suck my dick. Right. He's like, really? Yeah. Let's 69. And we're on the beach, and then like tourists walk by. Well, we're 69. Well, we're 69.
You're like, oh, damn.
And he's like, you fucking liar.
Right?
Dude.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Dad.
Dude.
Bless you, man.
God bless you. Is it over?
I mean, I don't know. Like,
how long does it go to?
We do about an hour. What do you think?
You do about an hour?
Yeah, we do all about right. an hour.
Yeah, what do you think?
I do whatever the show is.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think this. You think it's good?
I think
sure. I like it.
But Paul always is my. You know, because I'll always assume, like, oh, it was awful, this is bad, and then Paul says, no, it was good, and I was like, okay, Paul.
Is it good?
I think it was great.
Okay, good.
I think it was great.
Right. I love this.
All right, I have to tell you a story.
All right.
After we turn this off.
Oh, okay.
So right, how do we end story. It? How do we end it?
Well, dude, I'm going to listen to a private story now, so thank you, Bob.
You turned it off, though.
Big Bob.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, we're cut. Go ahead and tell the story.
Did I tell you or did I tell you that... That episode was loaded with highly controversial topics, man. And I love Bobby Lee. I also love you for sticking around to the very end. And what can I tell you, man? As you're watching this, it will be about 24 hours after I'm talking to you right now. I'll be in Texas surfing a wave pool in Waco, getting ready to kill it at my first big theater show. And Wendy will be with me, as will Paul Brisky. Yeah. Is your album yet out, Paul?
No, it comes out September 16th.
So Paul's album comes out September 16th, and if you don't get it on that day, then you're not a real fan. Fuck you. Yeah.